Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and greetings to our friends everywhere. The new spotlight continues to be focused on the United Nations, where continued harassment by the Soviet leader, Mr. Khrushchev, reveals him to be indeed a dangerous man. Who knows but that this same pudgy, quick-tempered Russian who interrupted the proceedings of the United Nations by his shouting and table-thumping might in the same spirit of anger one day throw the switch that would turn our world into a blazing inferno. Although the United Nations exists for the purpose of bringing peace to this troubled globe of ours, every Bible scholar is aware of the scriptures reminding us that the day of the Lord will find men talking peace with safety. But then writes the Apostle Paul, sudden destruction cometh. Lasting peace will not come to this troubled world until the Lord Jesus comes as Prince of Peace. Any man-made peace will be short-lived. Well, now today in our broadcast, we'd like to show how the United Nations is not only a fulfillment of prophecy by its very existence, but that the Bible would also indicate this to be an outstanding sign to reveal our Lord is soon to come. We would suggest you turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 21, beginning with verse 25, where our Lord here describes events immediately preceding his return. That's Luke chapter 21, verse 25. Now listen carefully as we begin to read it for you. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Well, might we take just a moment to enlarge on each of these signs given by Jesus to indicate their scriptural fulfillment in our day? The first of these signs in the heavens, signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. There have been various explanations given as to what these signs in the heavens might be. And no doubt it won't be until after the rapture of the true church and following the tribulation that we shall see the greater fulfillment of our Lord's prophecy as they concern these celestial bodies. For notice in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 29, Jesus said, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. In other words, these signs in the heavens would find their fullest and greatest fulfillment after the rapture, when believers are caught up from off the earth to meet the Lord in the air, and after the awful tribulation period that will befall the world with plagues and wars and judgments descending upon mankind. However, we would point out that the satellites seen in our skies might in themselves be a sign of our Lord's soon coming. Turn in your Bible to the first chapter of Genesis, verse 14, where we read, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, and let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days, and for years. Now, did you notice lights in the firmament were spoken of as signs? And thus to look up in the sky and see a brilliantly lit satellite gliding across the sky could very well be to us a sign of Christ's imminent return. And as we have related in past broadcasts, it's of interest to note that the United States Air Force investigation of unidentified flying objects seen in the heavens is called Project Sign. Well, Jesus said there would be signs in the heavens. Well, secondly, he said there would come upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity. No less an authority than the Greek scholar T.J. McCrossan, a Presbyterian, points out. that the word distress is the Greek word sunaki and refers to a uniting of nations to signify the period of time wherein our Lord must come. Now to McCrossan, this is indeed a tremendous sign, and he refers to it often in his book, The World Crisis and the Coming Christ. In the brief foreword to the book, the author states, referring to this passage in Luke 21, "When men's hearts are failing them for fear, and when nations have formed a union to assist each other, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Your redemption, McCrossan says, is the time that Christ comes to take away all his redeemed saints. Says McCrossan, "The stage is being slowly and dramatically set for the greatest of all events, the sure return of our Lord." Well, many no doubt will be surprised to learn of the prophetic significance of the uniting of the nations with the prediction of perplexity for the nations, but joyous deliverance for the saints. When our Lord spoke of distress of nations, he really referred to a uniting of nations, no doubt for the purpose of maintaining peace. The word distress, as we said, is the word sunaki. Dr. McCrossan points out that the first meaning of this word in every good Greek dictionary is a holding or a joining together, a union. And so the United Nations, we believe, is existing in fulfillment of prophecy, in exact fulfillment of our Lord's prediction, and that it's a major sign to indicate his return. As a result of the uniting of the nations, the scriptures go on to assert there would come perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. McCrossan again comments on the Greek word for perplexity, saying it means without means of crossing over to the desired place. Says McCrossan, "Here then we have a vivid picture of nations united or holding together, a league of nations, and yet so marooned by the sea of circumstances on the island of depression that they cannot find any possible way to cross back to the mainland of prosperity." Events these past few weeks would bear witness to a state of confusion in the United Nations. There are some who are of the opinion that the Soviet leader did not come to the United Nations to talk peace, but to declare war, to denounce all who would oppose communist policy, to threaten terrible atomic war, in fact, unless Red China, for instance, is admitted to the United Nations. Well, commenting on the actions, the abusive language, the rantings and ravings of this Soviet premier, a newspaper editorial inquires, "Is Khrushchev another Hitler? And will he lead the world into another conflagration?" Continues the editorial, "What manner of man is this who comes before a world forum and even talks of war unless he gets his way?" Thus, my friends, it can be readily seen how our Lord was right when referring to the uniting of nations as bringing perplexity. He sees no way out. The building itself stands as did the Tower of Babel, a symbol of confusion. And could it be that the nations have already arrived at a point of no return, no turning back, heading toward destruction? President Eisenhower has committed the United States to full support of the UN. In his speech before the assembly, the president said, "The United States stands squarely and unequivocally in support of the United Nations." The question arises in the minds of many. What if these latest nations to join the UN should align themselves with the communist bloc nations? It is now recognized that the Afro-Asian nations hold the balance of power in the UN General Assembly. The question quite naturally follows, will the day come when these nations from Africa and Asia line up with the communist nations to force their will upon us, to enslave us with their ideologies? A news magazine comments, quote, "It was because he believes that the Afro-Asian votes can be weaned away from the West that Khrushchev has set sail, that he has come to America." When our Lord referred to the sea and the waves roaring, he no doubt referred to nations rising up, clamoring for their independence. Some would think of our Lord's prophecy as it relates itself to tidal waves, such as the mountainous billows to hit Japan during the Chilean earthquake, or to hurricanes such as Donna, with winds up to 180 miles per hour, in fact the worst hurricane on record ever to hit America's shores. But in Revelation chapter 13, you'll find a record of the beast, or Antichrist, coming up out of the sea, meaning he comes forth from the nations. According to McCrossan, the sea here represents humanity in an agitated and perplexed condition, with governments too weak or too inefficient to bring relief and stability. And that, friends, is exactly what we are seeing today. Governments proclaiming their independence, which necessitates the United Nations to move in and offer assistance to these countries. Or finds the Soviet Union and Red China offering assistance, which ultimately may lead to the control of these countries by the communist nations. Well, now it is when this happens. When nations unite, when the result is a no turning back, when the nations agitate for independence, that our Lord promises to return. Oh, how close, friends, his coming must be. When these things begin to come to pass, said Jesus, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Naturally, the coming of the Lord Jesus should be a concern to all of us. Friend, are you ready? Have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sins? Is he today your Lord and your Master? Referring to the day when Christ shall appear, when he shall come for his own, and we shall be transformed into his glorious likeness, we read, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." In other words, friends, if you're convinced as we are that Christ's return is near, you will make such preparation that when he comes, you will be ready. Oh, why not open your heart today to Jesus? In love and patience, he's waiting for you to accept him as your Savior. Hear his plea. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." Won't you repent of your sin and turn to Christ? Do it now. "And be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh."
Will you be ready to go when the morning sun comes riding down, his eyes are blazed with many crowns? Will you be ready to go?
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.